The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome everybody. It is a delight to see you all. I wasn't here. I guess Nikki taught on Thursday and Friday, so it's been a few days. I wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of taking care of ourselves. You know, it's so important. Of course it's important. And especially during these times when there may be more anxiety, there may be more grief, maybe more confusion, maybe more just uncomfortableness, or maybe something vague like feeling out of sorts, right? With social unrest and a pandemic, and maybe economically things are shaky or uncertain or all these things. So doing kind and caring things for ourselves can be really important when we're struggling and can help us move through some of these difficult, uncomfortable things, difficult, uncomfortable experiences, situations. And there's lots of ways in which we can take care of ourselves. And one of them is self-compassion, that is to extend care and kindness towards ourselves. And self-compassion can be understood as having two sides, two different aspects of this. And one is kind of the nurturing, comforting, soothing side that we might associate with compassion. And whereas the focus is just on being with our experience, showing up for ourselves, allowing, accepting, and, you know, and doing some things that maybe thoughts or expressions that really help take care of ourselves. For those of you who have studied self-compassion, Kristen Neff teaches his self-compassion. I think Christopher Germer as well. You can Google them if you're interested. They have lots of resources available. But sometimes there's a gesture of putting your hand on your heart or hugging or something like this, or bringing particular thoughts to mind or something like this. So that's one side of self-compassion, is taking care of ourselves by kind of being with ourselves and a little bit more of an internal focus, looking towards ourselves and taking care of ourselves. Kristen Neff, she calls this the yin side of self-compassion. Yin being a little bit more internal and has maybe a sense of, I don't know this much about yin and yang, so I don't want to come off as an expert, but yin being a little bit more internal and maybe a more feminine side. But of course, there's also another side, yang or yang. I'm going to pronounce it as yang. And this is more the protective, the providing, the motivating side, maybe a little bit more active and a little bit more looking at the world out there as opposed to the internal. So that there's a focus on acting in the world. And sometimes when we hear about compassion or we hear about mindfulness in general, and we hear about, you know, allowing, accepting, and being with, when we hear this type of language, there can be this conflation, this confusion, this assumption that it means passivity. It means just to be passive and just to accept things. And this kind of confusion makes it that sometimes it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do, or we might be concerned that other people will take advantage of us. Of us if we're practicing compassion for ourselves or mindfulness. But instead, there are definitely these two sides. There's the more being with our internal experience, and then there's more of an active external way. That's kind of the protective or providing or motivating side And I'm going to talk about the second one just for a minute here. But an example might be if you're experiencing burnout at work. And I'm choosing right now one of our, what might not be the most difficult experience that we're having. It might be, and it might not be. But if you're experiencing burnout at work, just as an example, that a person might engage in kind of the yin self-compassion by listening to music when they get home from work and reading a good book, or maybe taking a nice shower or a nice bath, or you know, something like this, kind of like a self-care, something that we sometimes when we hear the expression self-care, we think of these things. Maybe more quiet and nurturing and supportive. But alternatively, or additionally, this person might engage in the yang self-compassion by speaking to their supervisor and saying, "You know what, I'd like to cut down on my workload, or I think that we can reorganize the way that the work is done here by creating this new process that makes it easier." Or saying, "You know, I think that I'm going to take a longer lunch break so that I have time to do something, go to the gym, go for a walk, take care of some other things," or, you know, kind of like changing things out there in the world, talking to people, or changing the schedule or something like that. So that's the way in which we can have yang self-compassion, yin and yang. So yang self-compassion, it has this different elements, including like providing. What is one thing that can give ourselves in order to help support ourselves? Or what is one thing that we can do to protect ourselves from harm that others, or even harm that ourselves are doing to ourselves, that we might be doing? We might be engaging in behavior that we know isn't supportive and it doesn't create the conditions for us to have greater ease, and yet we might still be doing that behavior. What's one thing we can do to create the conditions in which we're less likely to do that? And motivating, this can also be some yang type of self-compassion, is to, rather than engaging in the listening to what the inner critic has to say. And so often the inner critic is pretty persuasive, but how can we motivate ourselves with kindness, with support, and with understanding? And that might be where meditation practice comes in. So self-compassion, here we're doing, you know, a meditation practice that has some yin in there, but in our guided meditation, I'll drop in some of these questions about what might we do to provide for ourselves? What can we give ourselves? Or how can we motivate ourselves not with the inner critic? It requires a little bit, maybe something a little bit more active. And how can we protect ourselves from harm? Do things that perhaps others are harming or we're harming. Just to add some tools to our toolkit, I offer this as something for us to consider and to explore and examine if there might be some aspects here which are helpful for us, especially during these times when all the tools can be, expanding our toolkit can be just what's needed, just what's needed. Okay. So with that as an introduction, we can take an alert, upright posture, a posture that expresses care for ourselves, that is, that it has a certain amount of ease, a certain amount of comfortableness, and expresses our intention to be present during this meditation, to show up for what we're going to do next. We can start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Allowing with the exhale to be a flowing out, perhaps, of some tension or tightness. Allowing it to drain out. Sometimes we can imagine this flowing out of our fingers, fingertips, maybe out of our feet. Just to check in generally with our bodies. And see if there are obvious places of tension or tightness. Not that we have to get rid of them, but maybe to see them as an opportunity to bring some kind attention. It might be that dropping in some kind attention changes the ecosystem of our experience, including the bodily experience. There might be a little bit of a shift. And then resting the awareness on the sensations of breathing. Also, in a kind way, just noticing the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Can we place our awareness in a soft, kind way? It has an element of curiosity. What's happening here? What is this experience? This experience of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just hanging out with the sensations of breathing in an open, relaxed way. when you find yourself lost in thought, just very simply, gently begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. Which we will also do self-compassion, but we're going to start here where it's easy to kind of prime the pump, so to speak, with bringing to mind a lovable being. That is a creature or a person for whom it's really easy to feel some warm-heartedness, some goodwill, respect, care toward. Someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. This might mean that you don't have a relationship that you interact regularly. Maybe the lovable being is someone you've never met, a teacher, a leader, a coach. Maybe the lovable being is an imaginary kittens, puppies, or babies. Bring the lovable being to mind, and to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might find it supportive to using these sensations of well-being or spaciousness or maybe warmth, and allow those sensations to support you and maybe be part of the root out of which loving kindness grows. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness, we can stretch it to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves with loving kindness. So in the same way, you can bring to mind either an image of yourself or maybe the felt sense of the experience of what it's like to be here right now. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. If you find that cultivating loving kindness for yourself is a little bit challenging, you might dip into doing loving kindness for the lovable being and allow yourself to be nurtured, nourished, supported by that, going back to where it's easy. Recognizing that it's good to challenge ourselves sometimes and to know when would it be helpful to stay with loving kindness for oneself or to go back to loving kindness for a lovable being. Thank you. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now, to practice self-compassion, kind of more in the yang way, the yin way would be maybe more meditative, but this way, I'm going to just drop in a question. There's no need to have to find or dig or create, come up with an answer. The practice is more about dropping in the question and seeing what comes up. It might be that nothing clear or obvious comes up. That's perfectly fine. So for some self-compassion practice, bring to mind a difficulty you're having, not the biggest difficulty, just a small one, one that seems manageable, maybe a little bit of an irritant. We start with the simple. We start where it's easy. We build the foundation. We build roots with where it's simple and easy, and then it grows. So bring to mind a mildly difficult situation. And here's a question. What is one thing that you might do to give yourself what you need? To provide yourself with what you need? Right now, we're just dropping in the question. This might translate into action later, maybe not. Without having to feel like you have to dig for an answer or make an answer arise, just see if anything bubbles up. One thing you can do to give yourself what you need with this little difficulty. A second question. What's one way in which you can motivate yourself with kindness, with understanding, rather than criticism? So not listening to any inner critic. But what might you do to support yourself using kindness and understanding? What might you do that expresses that kindness and understanding and does not indulge the inner critic as best you can? As best you can. And then a third question. What is one thing that you might do to protect yourself, if that's needed, from the harm that you are inflicting on yourself, or harm that others are inflicting on you? What's one thing you can do to protect yourself with this mild difficulty? And then for the last bit of this meditation, let go of these questions or contemplations. Maybe continue with some loving kindness practice for yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of there being an active side to self-compassion, you know, of course, in the meditation setting, we're going to talk more about the meditative way, which is a little bit more internally focused and changing our relationship to what's happening, changing our understanding to what's happening and finding freedom in that way. And sometimes we neglect to talk about the non-meditative ways in which to take care of ourselves and to cultivate some well-being for both ourselves and support others. So this idea of protecting, motivating, and providing for ourselves, like actions that we do in the world, is part of a way that we take care of ourselves. So it can be really helpful to share some of our ideas with others and or to hear ourselves speak about what some ideas that we might have or our understanding, and to hear some other people's understanding and interpretations. It can be really rich to see how there's more than one way to approach whatever it might be, whether it's a new practice or a new idea. So I'm going to put you into some breakout rooms, and these rooms, it's an opportunity for to say a few words about your experience and to connect with others about this practice. So you can either describe a little bit what your experience was about this meditation and some of the questions that we dropped in. Or you can talk about even this idea of sometimes we confuse this self-compassion to be only about interior experiences and being passive. We might have this idea that it's being passive, but self-compassion includes active elements as well. So let's see here. So we'll have about 12 minutes, and I'm going to say that the person that has the most letters in their name of what's exactly how their name is that they have for themselves on the screen goes first, and the person has the least amount of letters goes last. Did you learn something new? Was it new perspectives, new ideas? Or maybe it was just fun? Whatever you'd like to share. Or maybe it was awful too. I don't know. I doubt it. But.
It wasn't awful.
I'm happy to hear that, Trudy.
It was nice. It was... very honest and vulnerable, mm-hmm. and intimacy. There was intimacy in the group, and I really am grateful for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Trudy.
And share. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Yasna, I see that you have your hand up, and then Dunder, I saw that you put your hand up too. So after Yasna. So Yasna, what?
Hi, Diana. I just wanted to say I had a wonderful conversation with my buddy. What I noticed during the meditation was that when you said, may I be safe or something along those lines, it really spoke to me. And then it occurred to me why. And I thought, how interesting, right? That when you don't feel safe, somebody says to you, there's meditation about may I feel safe and how powerful that is. I feel so much better now. You know, that I need to take care of my own safety and take action to feel safer. I'm not sure if I'm explaining this well, but it's just like, it was really meaningful what you said. And I've been doing this kind of meditation for 3 years now already, but the words "may I feel safe" never really spoke to me. And today it was the first time that it was really, really meaningful.
Thank you, Yasna. Yeah, right? Things don't unfold in a linear way, that we may be going along for quite some time and then, zoop, you know, there's something different or new that touches us. So thank you for sharing that. Dunder.
Hi, I'm Dunder. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, it was a very good session. I loved it. I think our group was also we clicked. We had a lot of, I think, meeting of the minds, I would say. We picked up on the same topics. And I think the main conversation was about developing compassion when there is a difficult situation, right? Someone's hurting us or causing, you know, I talked about my son who has addiction problems and mental issues, and how I learned to distinguish between the good person in him and the addicted person in him, how I have to at the same time protect myself from the addiction, the rage, but on the other hand, I can continue loving him and be compassionate and show understanding for his condition, which is an illness, instead of, you know, blaming and judging. And so, you know, that's what I used to do, and it never went well. But when I started developing compassion and understanding, you know, I started becoming part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And so it was also part of taking care of myself too, because now I could have a relationship with him and he didn't have to be confrontational. And, you know, so I think going with compassion through life is so much easier than seeing everybody as a potential, opponent, or, you know, things that you have to control, or you know. So this is amazing. Thank you for I learned a lot of these from Buddhism. Absolutely. Thank you for Excellent. Teaching us.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Dundar. Thank you. I like what you said, that it turns out to be easier to have compassion, but we often have to train ourselves or learn this, right? It's not something, might not be our initial response.
No.
Okay, so it's 7:02. I want to respect everybody's time, but thank you all for being here. And I'll unmute us all if you'd like, and we can say goodbye and express our appreciation for each other. So bye.
Bye, Anna.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
And for you, Diana. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.